Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pa, pa, pa.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
This is Life Logistics. Basically, we're just here to help you.
Before we delve into the logistics, I just to tell you about what I've been up to this morning, Andy. You might be wondering.
I don't know if you're... is it logistic related? Are you allowed to talk about it on this Ring Fence Logistics episode?
No.
But fuck it, do it anyway.
But it'll be old news by tomorrow.
Will it?
This morning, we usually record on Monday morning.
Are you clicking something, can I just say?
Yeah, out of excitement. Okay. Oh, I forgot my toy. I'm like a dog. I have to have, you have to give me a toy to occupy me. I literally do have a toy. You know, I've invested in some stress balls. And that's why you'll have noticed, listeners and Andy, mm-hmm. that over the last couple of months, there's been less clicking about with things in the background.
Yeah.
Because I have something to occupy my hands with while we're recording. Now look
what
I've got.
One?
He's a doctor.
Oh, right.
In a white coat with a stethoscope.
Oh, that's nice, that.
And yeah, it's quite nice. It's a squidgy doctor in a white coat, stethoscope, and a pair of glasses.
That wasn't sent to you by the Pharmacists Association or anything, was it?
Yeah, and it had a Stanley knife stuck in its head.
Because if it was, it might be bugged or released.
It was given to me by someone who services the medical industry.
Really?
Yeah. And he sends these to doctors. No, he sends them to medical secretaries. But he gave me one, and it's coming really handy.
Good.
This morning I couldn't do it because, you know me, I don't like to name drop, but I was having coffee with Cindy Beale, a.k.a. Michelle Collins.
Whoa!
That's right.
Clang! There's the sound of a name being dropped.
Met her for coffee, didn't I?
That's gone through the floorboards, that has.
I'd never met her before. Tried to play it cool, but unfortunately...
couldn't play it cool.
I started talking at length and in a very emotional way about various 1980s EastEnders characters, which at first she seemed to find... At first she tolerated and engaged with me and said things like, oh, yeah, no, he was really nice, or, oh, yeah, I thought they were a good actor, but they got stitched up by the producers or something like that.
Ooh.
But then she didn't really... So it was a bit of gossip. But what she didn't understand was that I wasn't interested in gossip about the actors because, in my mind, all of the characters were real.
People.
I spoke about them only by character name.
Can I guess some of the characters that you suggested?
Yeah.
Nigel.
No, which one was Nigel?
Nigel, Grant and Phil's mate with the curly hair. It was a bit useless.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he came a bit later. I'm going right back almost to, mid to late 80s.
Wilmot Brown?
Yes. Now, Wilmot Brown was the real problem. I think that's where my coffee with Michelle Collins started to go downhill.
Took a dark turn.
She mentioned his name in passing, and I went, that cunt. And she went, sorry? And I went, fucking Wilmot Brown. And she said, was it Wilmot Brown or was it Wilmot Bowen or something? And I went, it was Wilmot Brown. And I think I acted a bit too angry.
She doesn't even know the history of her own soap.
I was like, it was Wilmot Brown. I said, he's got to be the biggest arse. If you did a vote amongst the British public of who the most hated person ever in Britain is, it'd be Wilton Brown. She went, do you really think so? Was he that bad? And I went,
it was a rapist.
He raped Kathy. And she went, oh.
He raped Cindy's mother-in-law.
Yeah, he raped your mother-in-law. And you're asking me whether he was that bad. She went, oh, no, sorry, I thought you were talking about the actor. And I was like, no, fuck the actor. I'm talking about Wilmot Brown. I went, he's an absolute cunt. I said, do you know who he was like? Farage. He was like Nigel Farage, wasn't he? And she went, oh, I suppose so. And I could see in her eyes then, she was like, this bloke's a fucking nutter. And then,
did you ask about Pete Beale?
Yes. I told her the truth. I said, on my podcast, right, which she knew about, she'd asked about Top Flight Time Machine, right?
Of course she did.
She'd looked it up. And I said, on my podcast...
Did she?
Yeah. I said, the other day, we were talking about Pete Beale. Peter D. She went, oh, Peter D. And I went, yeah. And she went,
yeah, whatever.
But why? She went, but why? I thought your podcast was about football. And I went, nah.
No, not really.
We were talking about, she went, why on earth would you have been talking about Peter Dean on your podcast?
And I went,
and I thought, why did we? And I said, oh, well, sometimes we talk about knees ups, right? She's like, fucking hell. I said, and as a result of talking about Cockney knees ups, I said, someone sent me a clip of the whole cast. You weren't in it, but I said it was on the older Children in Need and they were doing a Cockney knees up. And I said, they were all there. It must have been before you joined. I said, but Woodyat was there, the lot. I said, guess who the most enthusiastic about this knees up was? And she said, Ethel. And I went, no, it was not Ethel, or as you would know her, Gretchen Franklin.
Gretchen Franklin, who was once mentioned in a lyric in a song by The Fall.
Amazing. Well, it is one of the best names ever, isn't it, Gretchen Franklin? Well, it's the sort of name that I can imagine Len making up for, like, a player from Bulgaria.
That's a diversion into The Fall that we don't need right now. Carry on.
At this stage, she's looking at me thinking, how can I get away from this guy? Because I go, so we talk a lot about knees ups. So someone sent us a clip of a knees up and Peter Dean was really going for it in this knees up. And I said, and that led me and Andy to start thinking about Peter Dean. I said, and so then I did some research on him and I spent quite a lot of time reading about it. I said, and I read about him and June Brown. She went, well, I know June really well. What? I said, well, he got biffed and she quit in solidarity with him. Cindy Beale did not know this, which made me think maybe it's not true, but I read it on Wikipedia. She went, is that right? I went, yeah. She quit and they tried to set up a production company, but it didn't work out, so she went back and then they killed him off without him being on the show. And Cindy said, that's what happened to me as well. They killed me off while I wasn't on the show. She went, what's the point? I went, I agree. What is the point? They're ruling out. She went, it's spiteful.
It is not spiteful. Nice.
It's pointless, and they cut off their nose, spite their face, because, you know, I haven't watched EastEnders in years, but everyone would like Cindy, everyone likes an old character coming back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, they had to make Dirty Den come back, and it was so unconvincing, because we'd all seen him shot and fall in the canal.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I could see the rage with which I spoke about Wilmot Brown.
Yeah.
Then the extent to which I'd researched the life of Peter Dean, I could see her thinking, this is not a good situation for me to be in. I need to get out of this situation.
Are you able to tell us why you were in this situation in the first place?
A project that me and Michelle Collins might be working on together.
Oh, man. And that was when the seed was sown.
We've got, to be honest, we've got a mutual friend and she wanted some advice on something. And I said, right, I'd meet up and give it to her. But I don't know if she came away from it with anything useful other than my thoughts on the fictional character Wilmot Brown. And what was the other thing? Oh, yeah, I wanted to talk a lot about Nick Cotton as well, obviously, which she...
The character,
sort of
not the actor.
But she kept thinking I was interested in the actors.
John
Altman.
I was like,
you know, Nick, I said, every time you thought he'd, you know, changed his ways, he always turned out to be a liar, didn't he? I said, and the worry he caused Dot over the years, it was unacceptable. And she's like, okay then.
Isn't John Altman dead now?
No, he is not. Died, she did say he was alive and kicking.
Oh, yeah.
She's still, she's pals with loads of these people.
That's good.
She's still pals with Woodyat.
Well, who wouldn't be?
She's even pals with Suzanne Tully, who, of course, went on to be a successful director.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Altman's still alive. John Altman's 68 now. Nick Cotton is 68, or he would be had he lived.
Yeah, is he dead too, Nick Cotton?
Nick Cotton died, yeah, I'm pretty sure about that.
Ridiculous.
Well, they could bring him back from the dead, can't they?
What they should do is do a spin-off Nick Cotton standalone series like Marvel Universe do with their characters.
Oh, yeah.
I think EastEnders, the BBC, who are struggling at the moment in many ways, right? People want them to justify their existence more and more, don't they? I think they could do a lot worse than take a leaf out of Disney's book and start doing spin-off standalone series, and you'd call it Cotton, right? An EastEnders saga.
Yeah.
An EastEnders story, because, you know, like they do Solo, a Star Wars story. Right,
so you've
got to do Cotton, an EastEnders story, and you might have to get a different actor because Altman might be a bit old. Although I would start with Altman playing like old Nick Cotton, sat in a rocking chair, and he'd be telling a story to his grandchild about, let me tell you how it all began, how I become the worst bastard in Albert Square, and then it goes back to like before EastEnders started with a younger actor playing him.
The worst bastard in London. Here's an idea, and you can make this happen, Sam. Nick Cotton and Cindy Beale, but it's their ghosts and they're living together. Because they're both dead, aren't they, in EastEnders?
Ghostenders.
Ghostenders.
Ghostenders. And it's all the dead characters now in heaven.
Yes. Obviously the ones where the actors aren't dead.
Yeah, because unfortunately Leslie Grantham is dead. And as Martin I told
McCutcheon,
her as well.
Martin McCutcheon, Tiffany, she died.
Yeah. Killed
She's
her
not
off
dead in
camera
real life.
As well.
Who?
Apparently. Killed her off camera. Michelle Collins was telling me. She goes, oh yeah, they did it to McCutcheon as well. What they do is they kill your character when you're not in the show. If you see what I mean.
Did she not die? Did she not get run over, Tiffany?
Oh, actually, yeah, she got run over. Yeah, but she famously was run over and killed.
Michelle Collins is no kind of...
fucking Collins, don't give me misinformation.
Reliable witness, is she?
Don't give me misinformation, Michelle.
Jesus. Oh, there's another Tiffany in there.
But Michelle Collins is really nice. I mean,
good.
She's really, really nice. She did indulge me. Yeah, she's very, very attractive. And she did indulge me with my chat about...
Your witterings.
My witterings about very specific era of 1980s EastEnders characters. I mean, imagine that. She's turning up to talk about something completely unrelated. She meets some bloke who she's been told, you know, might know a thing or two and be helpful. And he literally, she's like, that was so long ago. And this cunt spent the whole morning going on about Wilmot Brown, Nick Cotton, Peter Beale, Mary the Punk, all of them. What a waste of fucking time. Punk. Yeah, I did. I asked her about Mary the Punk. She's apparently a graphic designer now.
Oh, that's good.
And they're still good mates. Oh, and here's a great bit of EastEnders trivia. Cindy, Michelle Collins, she auditioned for the role of Mary the Punk.
Oh!
Got quite close.
Wow.
And then didn't get it and was gutted. And then a year later, or however long later it was, they came back and said, we remember you, do you fancy playing this role instead?
Wow.
Cindy Beale, which I think is a better role.
A better character. I mean, Mary the Punk, the actress who played her, you know, no disrespect, but she wasn't great. I don't think.
Didn't she turn out to be Kathy's daughter? Oh, no, that was someone else.
Can't remember. Hey, that might have been true, actually.
No,
it was another one, wasn't it?
There was another heroin addict or something.
That's right. There was quite a pale girl that used to mooch about the market.
Pale girl. You've got old Charles Dickens. He's always writing about pale girls, isn't he?
Is he?
He's always on about
pale girls.
Yeah, that was one of his books, The Pale Girls.
That sounds like a productive day.
That's good.
Then.
It's been a productive morning. Yeah.
Good. I hope we hear more about whatever project it is. At some point.
It's not really a project. I was just giving her some advice, but, you know. But I didn't. I just asked her about stuff to do with EastEnders.
And I mean, the thing is as well, for her, it was a job of work that she did 30, 35 years ago,
I know,
or whatever it was.
Exactly.
She's not.
She's done loads of other stuff since then.
Yeah, she's got no recollection of the character arcs of all the various people that were in EastEnders or anything
but
like that.
I thought they were like people that she knew, the characters. Yeah. And so
she'll have just done it, gone home, and then learned the script for the next year and not watched it or anything. There'll have been stuff going on that she wasn't even involved with because she wasn't in the scene.
She probably didn't watch the programme when it went
out.
And
we don't listen back to these podcasts, do we?
All these years later, she sat. I mean, literally, people who listen to this podcast will tweet me about things that we apparently have said on a podcast that we only recorded 2 days before, and I will not have a fucking clue what they're on
whatsoever.
About.
Yeah,
and that's 2 days later. She sat with me 40 years after the fucking event, and I'm fucking insisting. I'm saying shit like, how Wilmot Brown had the fucking front to come back to the square after everything he'd done. Everyone fucking knew what he'd done. And he comes back in as if nothing's happened. He's not on. And she's like, okay, who? What was his name again? You strange man.
Shall we do some life logistics?
Yeah.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Jalapeño.
I've got one here that came in on the Twitter, and it's from Transcendence, who is, he's known to me, he's a Sunderland fan and a local character, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
I've known him on Twitter for a while, and he just says, morning Andy and Nifty, I'm planning on moving house soon, and my own house is in a slight state of disrepair. It needs a new oven, a few roof tiles, the yard's a jungle, etc. How much work should I do before selling it? Or is this it? You fucking do it and take the loss. Well, I don't know.
It's not
a
situation. I mean, I've sold only a couple of places and I've never done anything like that. I've tended to do quite a lot of work when I've moved in.
Yeah.
And then when you move out, it's looking in better nick than it was when you moved in anyway. So you make a bit of a profit. But if I left the house I'm in now, which I probably would like to do at some point,
because you're going to semi-retire to the, is it the Cotswolds? You're going to go to,
or the Isle of Wight? Who knows? No, Chichester, wasn't it? That was my last big idea.
That's right. Yeah,
right.
We can develop your Geoffrey Chichester range of novels.
Persona, but yeah, right. the funniest thing about it is I've never been to Chichester.
Geoffrey Chichester and the Pale Girls.
Oh, that's the first one. That's one of the first cases he takes on. Some pale girls who mysteriously went missing on the outskirts of Chichester.
Yeah.
Why would I try to introduce a character called Wilmot Brown? And then EastEnders lawyers ban me.
Come down on you, ton of bricks.
So if I sold this place, it could do with some work. And actually, if the cunter who is a roofer and offered to do my roof at a competitive price a few months ago, I've forgotten his Twitter. I can't find him on Twitter. We used to chat quite a lot about FIFA, but I might need to call that in because my roof does need a fucking... not a few new tiles. It needs a full retile.
Full roof.
And I'm also thinking of having the exterior of my house painted. Any thoughts on that?
What colour is it at the moment?
Well, it's a quite unattractive sort of red brick. You know, red bricks?
Yeah.
Sort of almost like the kind of bricks that Brookside Close was made out of.
Right. Like, what, are you going to get it sort of like
white?
Pebble just dashed what? Or the white, the bricks painted white?
Up my street, there are a couple of pebble dashed, but I'm not mad on it. I think I'm just going to go plain white.
Will you get it plastered first?
Off white. You can do that. I could get it rendered.
That's the word I'm looking
right,
for.
Right, yeah. But I think, again, and as a cunt, I might get in touch and let me know, I think that's going to be more expensive. So I'm just like, nah, fuck him, just paint it.
Paint it put white, mate.
Splosh it back up, straight on, mate. Yeah, it's you might want us to plus it. Nah, fuck that. Just get it fucking paint it. I'm thinking of doing that. So that's what I'm thinking of doing. I don't know what state of disrepair your house is in. What I get the strong impression from estate agents I've talked to in the past is that you're better off saving yourself a few quid and doing some really superficial things internally. Yeah, like getting all the walls painted magnolia and go up IKEA and get a couple of nifty looking bits of furniture, have a tidy up, chuck a load of stuff in the storage or like up in your mum's attic or something, right? If your mum's got an attic, find someone who's got an attic. And so it looks a bit more spacious and you probably add a few grand on just by doing that.
Well, my brother's just put his house up for sale recently and I looked at the photographs on the website last week and it looks beautiful because they've just tidied it up. They've got rid of all the clutter and stuff.
Yeah.
Not that they have a great deal anyway, but they've just tied it up. It looks really nice.
You're not going around saying that your brother's got a cluttery house because that would be out of order.
I just retracted it there. Did you hear? I retracted it.
I said
that they've got a lot of clutter. But they've made an effort.
Andy, it's me. It's your brother. I've heard that you've been going around saying I've got a cluttery house.
I've heard you've been saying it on your Paywall podcast that I don't subscribe to. That's all right.
Yeah. Someone recorded it off the internet on their phone and sent it to me as an MP3 file. And you are clearly implying that me and the wife are quite cluttery.
Slovenly.
Listen, if you think I'm cluttery, that's fine, but why can't you say it to my face, mate? You know, I saw you the other day. You had ample opportunity to talk to me about it if you felt the need to. Why'd you have to run and do it behind a paywall?
Because of the safety. Yeah, I've got no right to call anyone cluttery. Look at my fucking
house. Why is he selling up? What's his plan?
They've now got three kids and they've got three bedrooms, so they want a fourth bedroom so all the kids can have their own room. Simple as that. There's no ulterior motive. There's no hidden agenda.
I was just wondering if they were planning anything like moving out of town and into like a rural area.
Oh, to Chichester.
Obviously, that's something I'm interested in.
No, nothing like that. Okay. Getting back to this question, though, he says it needs a new oven. You wouldn't buy a new oven.
Fuck
before
that.
You're putting your house on the market.
You must be mad because the people love buying new ovens when they move into a new house anyway. It's one of the fun things. Go and buy yourself a new oven. They're not that expensive.
You take a loss for a couple hundred quid because it needs a new oven.
Exactly, because you think, that'll give me an opportunity and an excuse to go and buy a new oven, which is one of the... You might, in your life, Andy, you might only ever buy three ovens.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
And that...
Touch wood.
And it's a privilege to do it. I mean, it's like, this is a big moment in life when you have the opportunity to buy an oven. Just imagine yourself at the showroom. Can you show me what ovens you think are good? Have you got any special deals on ovens at the moment, mate? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? All that.
It's the whole delayed gratification, is it, of just choosing. Going through them all and having a look.
And when you've just bought a house, money becomes temporarily meaningless because there's so much expense surrounding it.
Yeah.
And you're signing over sums of cash that just seem mind-boggling to ordinary folk like us, right?
Yeah.
And therefore, you sort of, I don't know about you, but you, in my experience, you end up sort of like anything that's less than a few grand, you start almost treating quite lightly during that period because money is just too much money's going out. So you go, well, we've got to buy an oven. And rather than fret about it for weeks or months, which is what I might do in ordinary life, I go, right, I'm just going to buy a fucking oven. And you just buy it. And that's what the people who buy your house, that's the frame of mind they'll be in. They'll be like, great, I get to buy an oven.
As for the roof tiles, Don't know. It depends how bad state of repair they're in, because people, if they've got their wits about them and they're looking to buy a house, they will look up at the roof. It's one of the things you look at, because you don't want to buy a house with a foot roof, do you?
Right, let's have a look at this roof first off.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to look at a house, I'll park up across the road the day before and I'll have a good look at the roof through a telescope or binoculars.
I'll somehow contrive to get in the house opposite the house I'm looking to buy.
Yeah.
I'll sometimes go round like disguised as like a gas man or hopefully it'll be an elderly person.
It's easy to do, isn't it? Yeah.
I can trick them into allowing me access, and then I'll go, look, sorry, missus, I've got to go up and look in your loft.
It's one of the tricks you pick up as Britain's top journalist on your way to becoming Britain's top
journalist. Nothing illegal about it either, by the way. Legally, you are allowed to trick an elderly person into allowing you access to your home. It's like a vampire. If you invite them in, then all bets are off.
Once you start nicking stuff or assaulting them, that's illegal. But actually gaining
entry... Can't do that. But if you simply want to gain access under false pretense to their home, then climb out of their top floor window and onto their roof and then sit up on the roof with a sandwich and a flask of tea, observing... Yeah. The house opposite for up to 4 or 5 hours, right? There's nothing illegal about that.
No, and you don't have to leave either, because you can then cite squatter's rights because you're in.
And remember, once you're on a roof, you are legally, in the eyes of the law, you are in the sky. And as we've discussed before, the sky, like the sea, counts as international waters.
All bets are off legal-wise, yeah.
Yeah, but you're not subject to anyone's law.
No, you're not. Sky
you're in
law,
the sky.
Which doesn't exist.
Sky law, yeah, exactly. So it's like you can't fucking touch me up here, dickheads.
Sky law. What's
sky? Sky law. That's why in the World Cup in 2018, when there was all those amazing videos of people going mental over England and everyone was getting pissed off, there was that one guy and he climbed all the way up a lamppost. Do you remember? And started doing coke in the middle of the street.
Yeah,
you remember that? It was really great, and he was all saying, "It's coming home," and he climbed right up a lamppost, and there was all hundreds of people around, and he just started shoveling the iron filings up his hooter while he was up there. And a lot of people said that's outrageous, but what they didn't understand was that man knew that he was completely safe from prosecution.
Yeah,
because it wasn't. It's not illegal to take cocaine in the sky.
He was a free man of the sky.
He's a
time.
Free man of the sky, exactly right. Yeah.
Have we solved that conundrum then?
Yeah.
The other aspect that he mentioned was he said the yard's a bit of a jungle. I mean, clean the yard up a bit, you know.
That's not hard. That's an easy job. That's one weekend of graft, and it'll do you good as well mentally. Yeah.
Exercise, and you'll feel really good afterwards because it'll look great. Yeah. It's like getting a nice haircut. So, yeah, that's that one.
I've got this one. I've got Life Logistics, Fathering a Foreign Child.
Wow.
He says, "Hi, chaps." It's from Thomas Drinkwater. "Hi, chaps. Hope all is well." Well, it's as well as you can fucking expect, mate.
It's none of your fucking business, mate.
Yeah. Keep your snout out of our affairs. Listen, mate, I've just had coffee with fucking Cindy Beale, right? So, yeah, things
that's
are pretty
all
fucking
right.
Well. Things are, things are well. I suppose you could say that.
Better than your fucking life, mate.
Well, he says, "I've recently become first-time father." Well, welcome to hell, mate.
Basically.
I mean, fatherhood's all right as you get older, but when they're babies, fuck
Christ.
Me. You have done nothing I could say could prepare you for what the next 2 years of your life's going to be like.
Like I said, you're in a permanent state of emergency. Just deal with it.
I'm not saying to anyone who's not had kids and is contemplated, don't have kids. Have kids. I know it's a cliche. It's the best thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah. Totally.
I love having kids. I said to my wife the other day, the kids were out at school and I was sat with her and we were having a cup of tea and I said, "I love having kids. It's a right laugh, isn't it?" Because it is a right laugh.
Yeah.
But you're not going to fucking sleep much for 2 years, mate. Anyway, that's not the point of the email. That's just us making people feel bad.
Oh, good.
He goes, "I've recently become first-time father. My son arrived 5 weeks early, but both he and my partner are safe and well." All right. Well, I assume so. You wouldn't be writing to us about it. "My problem is that I live in Sydney, Australia, and my partner is an Australian. I have a fear that there is nothing I can do to stop him from becoming a full-on Aussie. I have nightmares of him looking up at me and saying, "Here, Dad, get us some Vegemite and an Evo on toast." As two wise parents, you're correct, we are. What advice can you offer as to how I can father him and steer him away from becoming an all-out Aussie? With the borders fully shut for the foreseeable, it could be a few years until any of my family can come out and offer any influence. Cheers, IFS Platinum Canada Tom. His mum's Australian. He's born in Australia. He's going to grow up in Australia. Why the fuck would he? Should you not want him to be an Aussie?
What do you want him to be? Fucking English?
Yeah, these are your decisions, mate. Right? These are your decisions. You've made the decision to. If this is just dawning on you now, and why wouldn't you? Obviously, there's something you like about Australia. What, you want him to be fucking walking around fucking Australia, giving it the big pretend British.
Pretend he's Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Exactly. I mean, just let him be a fucking Aussie.
I tell you, there's worse things he could be. Being English over the next 10 years or so, it's not going to be a badge of honour. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, English.
Let's be honest.
Both Englishmen, but I mean, it's nothing to fucking shout about, is it? Especially not these days.
Fucking hell.
Let him be an Aussie, mate.
Yeah.
At least they're pretty relaxed. Yeah,
I think it's become more Australian.
This is what happens. Everyone I know, right, who fucking is an expat, you've moved away, they fucking moan non-stop about where they live. My cousin has lived in New York now for about, oh, it must be coming up for 20 years. He's had his kids out. He's married an English woman who he met there, right?
All right.
And they love being as English as possible. They have, you know, tea at every opportunity. Their kids both have English accents. But to be honest, their life seems great from the outside looking in. And I think they are happy, because if not, they would have come home. But he did enough moan about Americans and how they're all cunts.
Right,
and I think, fucking hell. You know, it's your country. It's their country you're living in, mate. Adapt.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's like if he was living here, would he moan about English people and what cunts they are all the time? You kind of wouldn't.
I don't know. Well, I wouldn't be going around saying English people are cunts.
You wouldn't generalise them like that, would you? And just say English people are all cunts.
Yeah.
Just 97% of them are.
Anyway, listen, Tom, I hope that that's cleared it up. I would not stress about that. Let him be an Aussie. He might adopt an English football team. He'll be aware. You know, my kids are very proud of their Hungarian heritage, right? Yeah. To the extent that Lenny wants to play for Hungary, not England, when he's older.
Okay.
He's planned out his whole football career. He wants to play for West Ham and Hungary, right?
Cool.
He follows Hungarian football team. The other night, Hungary played Russia. And we watched it together. He knew when it was on. He had it all scheduled up. He knew that he knows the teams. He knows all the hungry players, right?
Mm-hmm.
He loves it. And that's just his granddad. But I encourage it. I like it that he's got this sort of interest in his heritage. But, of course, he's English because he was born, he's grown up here. All of his cultural influences are English. But he does. So that's probably what will happen with your mate. With your, not mate, son. Although, hopefully, he will be a mate. And then he grows up. He'll be an Aussie. He'll have all the relaxed, laid-back, fun-time attitude of an Aussie without any of the uptight, pommy shit. But he might adopt an English footy team. You never know.
We're all citizens of the world. Just fucking roll with it.
Don't worry about it, mate.
Does Len think he's got more chance of getting in the Hungary national team than England then?
I don't know if that's his reasoning.
No.
It might be his reasoning. But I think he just really likes... I think it makes him feel a bit exotic, the fact that he's like a quarter Hungarian. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So he likes sort of going on about... Plus, they love Hungary. They think it's fucking awesome whenever they go over... Whenever we go and visit my father-in-law, they just think it's the bollocks.
It is a good place. My ex-wife, when we first got together, told me that she was a quarter Italian. One-eighth Italian, which is quite exotic. And then it turned out that she wasn't. So,
did you go around going, "Yeah, I'm dating this Italian girl"? Because it sounds really
pretty
flash,
much. And it turned out she wasn't, and now we're not married anymore. So there we go.
Is that why? Do you think? Because she lied, and after that, there's been a breach of trust, and it's really hard to come back from that.
Possibly a contributory factor, but who knows? Right, that's it from this one, Sam. There's no time for any more. We must go.
I think we've helped a lot of people.
We've helped two
people.
As always. We've helped two people. We've talked a lot about Cindy Beale. Whatever.
Thank God she's behind the paywall, because she said she was going to listen to the podcast when she got home. And yeah. I apologise in advance, which I very often do. If someone says they're, oh, I'm going to listen to your podcast. And I go, oh, well, you can if you want. You know, if it's a human being as opposed to someone like us or our listeners. You know, like a normal civilian.
Yeah.
A normal civilian says, oh, I think I'll give that a go. But what's it called again? Top Flight Time Machine. Let me make a note. And I always see myself saying, don't fucking bother, mate.
Do you know what I mean?
Shambles.
Don't fucking bother. It's going to be a waste of your time.
You won't You're not think better like of me.
It. Is that you'll think worse of me? Just do yourself a favour and forget the forget I ever mentioned it. But thank God she won't hear this one, I hope.
So anyway, thanks to all you cunts that have listened. We'll be back soon with more. TTFN dickheads.
TTFN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.